as our, his plan is way bigger than our plan. And so when I wrote the book, it turned out to be about a girl who was trying to find out who she is, not according to the world, but who she is according to God. And she did this by having this amazing journey. She was given a box by her grandmother, and in the box were several items. And along with the several items and the help of the Holy Spirit, she discovered who she is in Christ, and not according to who the world says she is. And so it was just a blessing because the book not only was something for my daughter to read, but it was something for other young ladies to read. And it's amazing how it was really something that helped to bless me. I mean, I love how God will bless you first as you're working to bless other people. So it's like he loves you so much, he's not going to leave you out of the blessing part. So it was such a blessing to me to see who I thought I was according to the world, and according to myself, but then realize who I am according to God.
So that's awesome that you say that. I'm going to get your insight on that. So as you was writing this book, you discovered more about yourself and your own identity.
Yes, definitely. So, especially chapter 7 specifically, as I was typing out chapter 7, I'm writing the book, and in chapter 7, she talks about where she goes into this dream. And in the dream, there are words that are splattered all around in this field. And the words are loved, the words are chosen, the words are redeemed. And she comes to realize that she let those words fall to the wayside. And that's what God was reminding me. God was reminding me that he called me love, that I'm chosen, and I am his masterpiece. And so as I'm writing this chapter in the library, I'm crying, realizing that, wait a minute, I've been putting down who I've been all this time. God has called me to be more. I'm not what other people have determined me to be. I'm not meant to be defined by the world. I can only be defined by the one who created me.
Yes. Oh, man, that is so awesome. You know, and because this is something that we've been dealing with, I've been dealing with even in my leadership class. And when I took over the class, that was one of the first things that I wanted to get them to understand who they identify themselves with. Because if you know who you are, the world can't define you, you know, because God is already defined you. And I think that's so important. And I want to get Melissa's insight on that. And as she described that portion of the book, what was your perspective when you first read the book? Girl, white mic.
Mm-hmm. I had a great opportunity to read the book, and as I was reading, it's about 14-year-old girls entering high school, and it took me back when I was in entering high school. I was like, wow. And before, I was very quiet, very shy, very timid, wasn't that outgoing girl, and like I had a lot of questions. I'm like, Lord, who am I? You know? And it was hard to make friends, hard to relate to people. And yeah, you could identify as a church girl, Miss Goody Two Shoes, and this is like a whole world. Everything is so different. And I'm like, I know I can't be like these people, but I was surrounded by people like this. How can I stay true to myself? Being surrounded by others who are different than me. No, not that they're bad or anything. It was just like, I need to stay firm of who I am. It's like, at times it was hard. It was peer pressure and boys and what people expect from you. But I love how the book explained it so deeply, but easy. Like, it was so easy to understand, like, why it's important to know yourself. That it's okay to be different. And it was so spirit-filled. Like, I love how, like, in the whole, it's normal to talk about God. It's normal to talk about scripture. It's normal to bring Christ in your everyday life. That's how it should be, right? We shouldn't be ashamed about who we are and the God that we serve. It's like, so it really touched me, like, to be in the bold in my faith. And then, like, it was so easy to understand. And that any young girl could read it and understand it. And I just love how, like, it's the spirit.
You know, that's awesome you say that because, see, for me, I didn't grow up in a church. You know, I went to church. My grandmother used to take me to church all the time. But I didn't have a relationship with God. You know, I knew of God, but I didn't know God. You know, and there's a difference, you know. And that's like what most of these young men and women out here now, they know of God, but they don't know him. And in this walk with God, it's about a relationship. You know, it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. And I think that's what pushes people away so often. And like you said, it's almost like you find yourself having to be in a box. You think you have to be in a box. And that's not what God wants us to be. God wants us to be true to ourselves and knowing who we are. You know, that's why I think about when Jesus was among the people in the streets, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, like, why he with them? You know, because they believed that if you were around them, you were going to become like them. And that's what he was doing, was showing that you can be set apart. What you can do, instead of being like them, you can have them become like you, so long as you know who you are. And I think that's the big part of the issue that we're having nowadays. And we were talking a little earlier as far as, because you have an opportunity to speak to some of the young women here at the school, and so are you. And what we're finding out doing it too with the young men is there's a hardness. There's a hardness in them where they're not so receptive to receive what we're saying. And I can relate to that, because even for myself, there was people who spoke into my life as a young man that I heard, but I wasn't mature enough to receive and apply what they were saying, because I didn't think it had any relevance. But the difference, I believe, with this generation and my generation, I can say for myself, is that even though I didn't apply, I listen. And right now, these kids, they're not listening. They feel they don't have no relevance to them. We have a question.
Yes, something you said, Pastor Rob, there's a hardness. Does the book address that hard, that stigma that young women have about church? Break down that hardness or that way of understanding what this life is about?
Good question. So actually, in the book, Aurora has a friend. And I would say if that would address that question, where Aurora's friend thinks God is just for Aurora. That, you know, I'm too far gone. I've done too much stuff. You know, my parents aren't even really Christian, so how could God love me? And so that's where, so when you talk about the fact that God showed me today, light shines brightest in the darkness. And so Aurora, her name means light. That's where I got the name, Aurora Borealis. And so Aurora's light, even though she kind of wavered and she didn't know where she fit in, her just being who she was, praying for her friend, telling her friend she was praying for her, allowed her friend to see, well, maybe just there's something about you that I want. And that's what kind of always kind of kept drawing her friend to her, to be her friend, because she knew that there was something special, something different. And that's what we have to realize as Christians, that, yeah, we're set apart for a reason. It says in the Word of God to be, to renew our minds and not conform to the world. And so thank you for that. That's a really good question.
You know, and you said something important, and we can't be afraid to be set apart amongst people, because the reality of it is they really want what we have. They want what we have, and like you said about our friend, she thinks she was too far gone to get that, and I can relate to that. And you don't know my story, and I don't even know if you know my story, that I did 13 years, and I thought what I did, God could use me. And because I knew God, but I didn't know him. But until I began to read his word and allow him to speak to me through the Holy Spirit, and once I realized in his word that there were so many people that he used that made even greater mistakes. You know, and that's the part that people have to realize. See, the world makes you believe that once you make that mistake, that's it. You know, one, two, three strikes, you're out, and that's it, and you don't have no opportunity. But that's not God. You know, God don't hold that that whip against us. He don't hold that against us. That's what Christ died for, you know. And I think that's the important part, that we have to let the kids know, let these young men and women know that regardless of what you did, it's about renewing your mind, being transformed. Yes.
As you were speaking, it's reminding me of something that was talking to me, actually, about the verse, Romans 8:8, verse 9, for I am persuaded nothing, no life, no death, no angels, principalities, all those things could ever separate us from Christ. And so we have to think, who wrote that? Paul did. And who was Paul? He was Saul. And so we have to understand his story. He was a murderer. He was killing the people of God. That was his main focus. He was trying to be like, I'm going to get y'all. And he did not care. He was arrested. Like, he would go house to house. And I was just like, wow. And so I can understand. You know how long it took him to come back? 3 days before, he's a murderer. And 3 days after, he's in the creation.
Awesome.
That's what the love of Christ does. And so I know, like, he's persuaded. He said, if anyone else can stand up and say, I will say, I am persuaded because I know what Christ did for me.
Yes. Oh, that's so awesome. We got a couple of questions, Dan.
Yeah, I have a question. Do you address it in the book? I know we were talking about peer pressure, and we've all faced peer pressure, but not like it is in this generation now because we also have social media and all those other outlets. You address that in the book on how a person getting to know God can keep their focus on God and not listen to those outside things that's coming in.
Yes, in the book as well, Aurora does go through the peer pressures of, you know, people saying things about her, talking about her, laughing at her, because that's, you know, what young ladies are going through and young men are going through as well. Well, to be honest, even adults, we still kind of face peer pressure as well. So yes, we talk about that, we address that. And I will say honestly, how the mom and the dad talk to Aurora in the book is really how my husband and I talk to our daughter. So I wanted to make sure that same love that God has, you know, allowed me to bestow onto our children, I want whoever picks up this book to feel the same thing. And so yes, we try to also address that, but in a very entertaining and fun way that girls can look really to.
Next question.
And it's open. So I'm going to ask for the ignorance, people who are ignorant to the situation, God and Christianity. At the same time, I'm going to ask a question for the people who are just too frustrated to even want to settle and to take in what you're saying. You get what I'm saying? So,
yes.
So what happens when you're too frustrated? Crazy time period in life where you just don't even feel comfortable in taking in that advice and going to church. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of people from the hood, you know what I mean, or the streets, however you want to look at it, that don't feel like you just talking to me is going to make me feel better when I leave here. You get what I'm saying? So what happens to them people? How do you reach out to them?
Anybody want to touch that? Because I can. You want to touch it?
What's making you frustrated? Why?
Multiple things. This is not just one thing. Y'all deal with multiple issues. This is mostly, I'm going to be honest, most Christians just have an uplifting feeling about their issues. You know what I'm saying? But other people see it, drown in their sorrow.
But what if I tell you?
You think that God is frustrated, ready to kill the next person? We got people that hurt. So, people that are doing stuff like that, bad in that magnitude. How do you think he's going to feel? You just say, ah, you should feel that way.
You know, she shared something that really kind of directs to your question. Paul was somebody who was mad. He was mad at Christians because he believed
what the Sadducees said based off the Old Testament. So he thought everything he was doing was right. He thought his conviction and how he felt and what he thought, he felt he was okay with doing what he was doing. Even though it wasn't right, which he found out later on. The key to it is being open to receive, you know. And sometimes all it takes is us just to really reflect on the little things. You know, sometimes we wait for God to just open the door for us, for everything to be all right, and then we want to follow. But if we can't follow him in the little things, how can he trust us in the bigger things? You know, so faith is faith upon faith upon faith. You know, and I can say that. Myself. I'm here not because of myself, but because of me trusting in God, because in myself I fell over and over again. You know, and I allow myself to be around other people of like minds to help me when I was struggling. See, too often we think we got it all figured out and things are going good. And we start walking away slowly but surely away from God. And we think we ain't doing too much. But if you look at that trail that you're going, slowly but surely you're getting off that beaten path. And next thing you know, you find yourself way over here. And you're going to be like, I really wasn't doing anything. But those are the distractions that he was talking about. Those little distractions that you think don't really have no impact. But the reality is, they have a big impact because they're taking you from the direction that you're really trying to go. And that's why it's important for you to know where you're going, know who you are, and surround yourself around the right type of people. That when you feel that frustration, that's what mentorship is about. And I was sharing with the young men today, and we were talking about that heart and heart, you know, because sometimes we think, oh, what they're saying don't really pertain to me. You know, is that we have to be open to receive. Because if we're not open to receive, and not just receive, but to walk it out.
Right.
You know, because you can hear it, but if you're not doing it. Because we all have been called by God. God has called us all. He called us all. But the key is your response. The key is your response. And not just one response, you got to continue to respond.
Something you said about the book would enlighten on his question a little bit. It was the family that you talked about and that human touch, that human relationship between the mother and the father and the daughter. Now, everybody don't have that, but there are people in our lives that do give us that human touch. And a lot of times we ignore those little human touches that are so important to help us recognize and be intentional about going the right way. Because we're looking at all the frustrations around us, and it's easy to look at the frustrations around us because there's so much of it coming at a level that we're not used to. And that in a young man's mind is overwhelming, especially when you're still developing your mind to how to develop your own identity, you know. And I think that's happened to a lot of my brother, that we see so much of our culture fighting, killing, and destructing the community and everything. But there are people that in our lives that will give us that human touch. And Aurora, when her friend that had that block, but it sounded like you said in the book that she was intentional about praying for the young lady, keeping that human touch open to have a pathway to the light to see God.
Yes.
I wasn't trying to teach the book.
Well, go ahead and teach that. No, thank you. That was really good. And you know, a lot of times, I believe as Christians, we can kind of, it all goes back to religion and relationship. We can become a little too religious and kind of just check the box, like my husband would say, check the box Christian. And we, as sometimes, can forget to be relational with our brothers and sisters. See, our identity brings that most your openness. Because when the world says, who are you? You're like, oh, you go by your occupation. education. Or the world looks at, you know, oh, because you're a doctor or you're a lawyer or you're this, you're that, oh, then you must be awesome, you're amazing, oh, yeah, you know, that goes by status. Or then, oh, well, you've been in jail, or you've done this, or you've done that, oh, well, then you're a low life, you're nothing. God looks at that and says, no, I look at the heart of a person. See, Saul was king, and he was doing great things, and he did not have God's heart. God said, you know, I got to remove you. And then he sent Samuel to Jesse's house. Now, he had seven sons. Well, actually, he had eight. But he went through the seven. And he went through the seven, and it was like, no, no, no. And God was like, no, not him. See, God looks at the heart of a person. And so I just encourage you to, it's when you have a relationship with God, he allows you to open. You have that heart has to be open to receiving him. People can talk to you about God all day long, but you're not open. God's a gentleman. He's going to knock at the door. He's waiting for you to open it. Open up the door to God. He is ready to sit there, talk with you, and have communion with you. But then you have to be open to that knock.
And you know, another thing that you touched on is when you are around an atmosphere of all negativity and everybody feel the same way you feel, where is the comfort? You know, and I realized even when I was away, that if I allowed myself to go back into the atmosphere that I was comfortable with, I would go back and do the same thing I've always done. But I knew I wanted something different, so I had to change my atmosphere. Even though I didn't know what was on the other side, I knew it was something different than what I already knew. And I wanted something different. And I think that's the biggest fear that so many of us have. We be comfortable in our discomfort. So it's easier to stay in a place that you're comfortable with, even though you're not happy with it, instead of moving and pressing to a place that you've never been before. You know, and that's been a journey that I've been on since I've been home. Everything I've done and I'm doing, I've never done before. And I ask God to just put people in my life and help me to go in that direction. And that's why it's important for us to surround ourselves with the right type of people. You know, that's going to help. And I'm glad Aurora was there for her friend. And like so many of us are there for other people to be that light that they might not see in their own life. We have a question.
My question is, how do males, specifically males, because seems to go females and kind of gravitate to easier to God, to church and everything. How does a young man that is not around as many people as they need to be, but they do hear it, how do they learn to redirect themselves and change? And when change is there, when it's a desire to change, but how do you connect to move forward to each
other? And broken, frustrated young man, I can understand that because that was me. That was me. And the key to it is, and I'm dealing with it on the personal side in my life right now with my children and even family members, is all you can really do is give them what you had to give. You know, like she said, God is a gentleman. It's up to you to let him in. You know, so all we can do is give them the information, because I can remember a time where I was frustrated and I'm like, oh, I have my dad in my life, I have this, I have that. And the Lord said, you still have a choice. You know, so it all comes down to a choice. And what he did to me is he showed me every opportunity. Whatever I complained about, he showed me I still had a choice. You know, and if we really do some real deep dive and reflecting and be honest with ourselves, we can see that we still have a choice. And it's about the choices that we make.
Melissa asked the young man an important question. First thing she asked, what makes you frustrated? That he just said it again. So, I'm going to take him with me to the conversation. accomplishment, because that's my vision. And I want it because he hasn't got his answer yet. I know it. I can feel it. Did you feel it?
Yeah.
And I want him to leave with at least a light of a world in his heart that God will come in. Okay?
And that's awesome, because this situation that we hear, and even from this young man, is a situation that me and you talked about. There's a hardness because of so many things and the trials and tribulations that these young men and women, me and you talk, we're from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We're from Brooklyn. So we know what it's like, you know, and I come from the projects, you come from that same area, you know, so we're from that hood. But I grew up in the 70s, and what we had in our community, even though we didn't have dad, may not have been in the household, mama was there, and you had big mama. You know, and you had the neighbors. So it wasn't nothing you could do without Miss Rita seeing you and saying, boy, what y'all doing over there? You know, so we had accountability people in our lives that gave us a moral compass. You know, and nowadays these kids have so many distractions, you know, where the parents are working all day, both parents, you know, so it's very little time with the children that they really need, where they can give them some insight. And I think that's the important part of the mentorships and being those lights for people to show them and being relational, you know, not being church, you know, because the church have done, the world has changed the view of the church, you know, and even the church has done it to itself as well, you know. But it's up to us to be the light of ourselves, you know, because we are the light of God. Amen.
In your book, does Laura face situations where she's dealing with a lot of manipulation from the outside sources, such as boyfriends, friends in school, peers, you know? I know younger children, especially this generation of children that are coming up, they're faced with so much more than, like, Pastor Rob, I was born in the 70s, so it's a lot different. But these children now are faced with so many more obstacles and negativity than we were. I wonder how your book addresses those things.
So, yes, it does. But it's, you know, like, so I was born in the 80s, maybe. And so it was different, but it's kind of still at the same root. I think the biggest difference for our kids today is social media.
Right.
So everything's much faster. Everything is, you know, lightning speed. So yes, Aurora deals with, you know, wanting a boyfriend and how does she go about that? You know, all this, like, you can't date until you're 40. So she's like, oh, really? But no, it does go at the root of it all. It's about knowing who you are. You have to know who you are. What's your standard? Because as a young lady, are you just going to accept any gentleman that comes try to talk to you? No, you shouldn't. Because if you know that you are a royal priesthood, you are God's masterpiece, there's no way you're going to take somebody or accept someone who treats you less than anything what God said you should be treated as.
Right.
So yes, so I would say there is some touch on that. But yes, so thank you.
Great. So Melissa, how do you, because I guess what they would call a baby boomer. Nah, you're not a baby boomer. I'm a millennial. But I think you might even be a little younger than that, right? So how are you dealing with, or how have you dealt with the social media pressure and keeping your identity?
Going up in high school, social media was definitely a problem. I was on it 24/7. Always relating to post a picture, needing to know what everyone's doing, but I could tell myself, like, it's draining me. It's a lot of work trying to be someone for people I don't know, just random people. And it's like, I'm more than that. Like, why do I need to portray? portray myself to someone who really does not even care about me. You know what I'm saying? Just for like. And it was just like, you have to realize that you're more than that. Who are you, God? And I'm just created just to sit here to scroll on Instagram and Facebook to entertain myself. Is that what I'm created for? No, there's so much more in life. And I think a lot of times young people don't understand that concept. Like, there's more to this life. You just don't exist for anything, but you're created for something. And so a lot of times I feel like young people are just like, well, I don't know what to do. There's nothing else to do. And I just like ask the questions. I like what you said about community. And I think a lot of times it's pride. We don't mind. A lot of times pride keeps us. I was there. I have amazing parents, but a lot of times I feel like, oh, I can't ask for help. I can't ask them for this because, oh, it's going to show me I'm weak or I'm not good enough or their expectations of me and the expectations of the world. Like, oh, you should know what you be doing. You should know what you want to do in life. It's the pride. I feel like more than ever, the generation is saying, but pride. And then they don't want to ask because you should already know, right? From little, don't do this, don't do that. So in my mind, I was like, all right, I should already know.
I got to figure it out myself.
Exactly. You should get a chance.
So what does a young lady do? A young lady do that has parents or guardians that are not supportive, like your parents were. I know a lot of parents that they do whatever and they're not supportive to their children. How does that child, or how do people like myself, or does your book touch on, how do people reach a young lady or a group of females or people that don't have the structured environment that they're going to?
The book doesn't touch on that, but that's a great question. I am sure that there are groups out there, mentor groups, if not, start one. Because there are a lot of young girls out there that maybe don't have a mom at home, they don't have a dad at home. And my husband and I actually had this conversation where female's identity comes from the father. And it hit me, I was like, wow, that's so true. And it's kind of, it's cultivated by the mom. And so when a child, when a female doesn't have a dad in the home, it's kind of hard, because who is she getting her identity from? And you know, the single moms out there, great, amazing jobs, down them. It's just that there needs to be that other hand. And that goes back to what Phil just said, community. Right. It's about community. We all have to be together. We are the body of Christ. We are not just one church. No, we are the body of Christ. We should act just as that, working collectively to help those that God has called for us to help. See, each of us have a purpose. And so for someone who's asking that question, how can I help with that? Means, okay, so if you have this burning desire, like Melissa had this desire to do a Bible study, and I'm so thankful that she's being obedient to that desire, because there are people that are called to her, and that when she's called, there's a seed that's going to be planted, and she might be the one planting the seed, or might be more, but God's going to bring forth the harvest. So let's all work together to build up God's church. I love to say, when I win, you win. When you win, I win. And when we win, the kingdom wins. And that was actually given to me by God, because I don't have good ideas. So.
That's awesome, and something Melissa touched on a little earlier was the pride part, and we live in a society in the world that tells you that you got to strive to be number one, you got to strive to be the best, and if you're not the best, you're not good enough. If you don't have a title, you're not good enough. And now with social media, it's not titles, it's likes. You know, how many followers I have, and want to have your life resemble someone else's life when you're following. So instead of us being who God has called us to be, we become followers. And you're seeing it so much. Pastor Ray talks about this all the time, is that God is so awesome that no fingerprint on any individual is alike. And so if our fingerprints are not alike,
our personalities and who he's called us to be is not alike. But like she said, is we are a body. And that we function as a body, each one doing their part. Not worried about what position you are, what title you have, but just doing your part, planting your seeds, watering your seed, whatever it is, nurturing it. You do your part, and God is going to get the glory. You know, and the world makes it about us and not about him.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest problem that we're having with young men and women now. It's just about them, what they think, how they feel, and what they want. And not worried about how it's affecting the people that they say they love. And that was one thing God dealt with me with, because I made excuses about some of the things I was doing, and I'm saying I'm doing it for my family. And when I was in a position where I couldn't do nothing, he said, who's doing it now? And he said, so the reality was that it really wasn't about nobody else, it was about you. Because if it was about them, you would have thought about the consequences and what it could have done. You know, and that's why I talk about the choice, you know, and I'm glad to see Aurora's in a position where she has friends who are doing things different than the way she's doing it, but she made a choice that I'm going to stick with the way that God and my parents have shown me, they instilled in me, because it's easy to get pulled in the wrong direction, and I'm one. I was pulled in that direction. It's not that I didn't know God, know of God, but I didn't know him, you know. And until I got into a relationship and began to read his word and surrounded myself around people, God-like people, I got an opportunity to see it's not that hard. I can walk that way, you know, because people think that walking a life of a Christian, of a person who loved God and is a child of God, they think it's a bunch of don'ts. And it's not a bunch of don'ts. It's about just walking in your truth. You know? Yes. And you know, I tell the kids all the time, it's not about being perfect, it's about being better. Once you know better, you do better. That's the key. So let's share some more about the book, because you get to that point about Aurora with her friend. Now, how far deep do you go? Is it just about high school stages of the book that you deal with?
So it will eventually be a series. So it really just deals with her freshman year of high school.
Wow.
And so it's just a freshman, so as the series goes on, it'll go into sophomore, you know, all throughout high school, kind of like this, we're just Aurora, you know, like. So, but I want to touch real quick in your mind about social media. And so social media can be a good thing, but it can also be really bad thing, because what it is, it's really it's a distraction by the enemy to throw us off track. Because I can scroll on it, you don't realize you can scroll for 2, 3, 4 hours. You're like, where did time go? Because, see, when you talk about identity and purpose, you can't walk in your purpose if you don't know your identity. And then you can't walk in your purpose if you're distracted. So the enemy can't take your purpose, your gifting from you, but he can throw you off track by distracting you, and he can throw you off track by not knowing who you are. And so that's how the enemy likes to throw us, and he's doing it with our kids, because he wants to start young. One, because he knows there's something in them, as I was saying to the young ladies today, that the enemy knows us better than we know ourselves.
Yes.
And so that's why what I love with Aurora is that I didn't realize when I started writing what really Aurora was going to be about until pen as the fingers to keyboard and Holy Spirit kind of just flowing through me. Because once again, like I said, I didn't realize that I was dealing with not really knowing who I was. So for a long time, I wasn't walking in my purpose. And I love the definition of purpose. Purpose is not the thing you do, it's the thing that happens to people when you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, you know, to those young, I just encourage that we have to, once again, get a real community and just really build a place and a platform to just speak to them. To try to get them away from the distractions, away from, you know, all the things that's keeping them from who they are and what their
know, you said something that really touched me, and I've been sharing on this for a while now, is that you think about the children of Israel stuck in the wilderness, and they were so set in their ways, and they thought they were missing something, and they wanted to go back to the point where that generation had to die off. And the younger generation came in. The enemy, he's strategic. So what he want to do is, I'm going to kill the younger generation so no one can go. And this is what's happening. This is what we're witnessing in our communities now. The younger generation are being lost and pulled in different directions, and that's why it's important for folks like Aurora, people like you, Melissa, myself, and other leaders here that's doing the ministry work, that are planting the seeds in the young men and women. I asked God, if he gave me an opportunity to be free, that I would do all I can to help other young men and women not have to go through what I went through, to know who they are and who God is to them. You know, I went away when I was 19 years old. 19, you know, didn't really experience. My pops, my stepfather used to say there's a difference between living and existing. And as a young man, I didn't understand that, you know. But as I matured, I realized I was just existing. I had no plan for the future. I wasn't doing anything in my present to prepare me for my future. You know, and I say all the time now, I'm living on borrowed time, because this time I never even thought I would be in. And I'm 53 years old now. And I never thought, I didn't see myself at this age. And when God told me at 24, he said, right now when you see yourself at 65. And I wrote that vision down, and I can say now today, and I still have that paper to the day. And I say, I can look at that paper and say, I'm ahead of what I put down on paper. And that's why they say the vision of God, what he has in store for you, far exceeds what you can think or imagine. You know, and I think that's why it's important for us to continue to plant the seeds and just speak the words into our kids' heart and their minds. Because when they have to stand before God, they will not have an excuse. You know, and for myself, I believe I said before God, because he gave me questions and he showed me that, look, had a choice. Anything I tried to rebut with, he said, look, this person spoke into your life, this person did this in your life, so you had a choice. And I love what you spoke about, even with yourself, man. There was a point in your life where, as far as social media goes and you chasing after that, that you figured out that there's something more to my life than just what I'm experiencing, and I want that. What was that point for you?
It goes back to you keep saying choice. That's it. A lot of people don't understand the power of choice. Like, we don't understand. We really have free will, y'all. God doesn't force us to do anything. It's like we expect the God to tell us to do this and this and this and that. It's like, no. The word says that I presented life and death for you, but I encourage you. And so, you know, hearing the word, the church, and all this, God's like, I want you to choose life, but if you don't, that's on you. And so I was realizing, like, how spiritually, like, it was just killing me. And it was like, I need a choice. So every day we wake up to make choices, either the right ones or the wrong ones. And so for the young man, I was trying to get the point, like, we're frustrated because we're angry because we want to be angry. We're sad because there's options. There's answers for everything in this life. But are you going to choose to listen? Are you going to choose to receive that constructive criticism? Are you going to choose to receive that word that God has given you? And so for young people who are watching, at the end of the day, you have a choice. You have a choice to obey your parents, or you have a choice to disobey.
Yes.
You have a choice to be that great student or be a pastor. You have a choice. And so, to answer your question, it was really just making a decision.
Question.
In making those choices, sometimes what you feel, especially when it's a spousal situation, it's hard to separate choice and feeling. So, with that being said, how do you change that?
Especially when you said spousal. When you said spousal, so I am married, and I'm an amazing man of God. A lot of times we can go into our feelings. I've heard of someone say, Dr. Harris said, don't let your mood affect your ministry. And as a wife, I have a ministry to my husband. And so, yeah, what if I'm having a bad day, that's not his fault. Or even if some people said that, may have upset me, I still can't allow that to affect how I honor and respect my husband. Because at the end of the day, that's God's child. So how dare I treat my husband any less than I should treat a child of God? So feelings are, I tell my daughters this all the time, even for young people, but females, we go through all these hormones and these ups and downs. You're gonna have a whole lot of feelings and emotions that are gonna go through your body. Don't allow your emotions to rule you. Now, are you allowed to have feelings and emotions? Of course. If you're sad, you're upset, it's totally fine. But don't allow it to dictate how you live your life. What goes back to, once again, choices. You can choose to live in the emotion. You can choose to say, okay, I'm feeling upset, or I'm feeling upset about this. Give it to him. That's what I do. I give it to God. I'm like, I'm upset about this. One, should I be upset? Do I ever have a right to be upset? No? Okay, well then let me correct that. If I do, okay, Lord, can you please deal with this? This is not, for me to deal with. I can't do it. And then let go and move on.
You know, something awesome, and I can relate to that when you talk about marriage and relationship. And this happened to me before me and my wife got married, and we were getting ready to celebrate 13 years coming up. When I met my wife, she told me this, and I was married before. I was married for 6 years before, and at that point, my ex-wife, she said, I was spending too much time in the church and at work and not enough time with her. And me being a young Christian, the word says you leave your mother and your father and you join your wife and you become one. So I thought, I need to make her number one, you know, and I moved away from the church. And lo and behold, we got divorced. She divorced me later on, not too long after that. But when I met my wife, she said she loved me, but she loved God first. Because God will never fail, and man will. And me being immature in my relationship with God, I wanted her to love me more. You know, because I thought that was the way it was supposed to be. You know, and I failed before we were married. I failed in that area. Now, I can be transparent because we got to be real. I failed in that area. And she told me, she said, look, I asked God if he placed somebody in my life who was going to be somebody that he wanted me. But I cannot follow you if you cannot follow God. You know, and what I realized is that And this is to speak to your question, is that it's not about that person next to you. You have to put him first. And that's where that identity comes from. When you know who you are, it's not going to be based off of that person next to you. Because if that person is not following God, is not doing God's will, he's going to separate that. And you got to be okay with who you are in Christ. You know, and I knew the same way my wife was asking for a spouse, I was asking for a wife, and I knew I had that in her. So I knew it wasn't in her, it was in me that I had to make the change. You know, and that's where you knowing who you are in Christ and your relationship with him. That's why identity is so important. Because then you got something to stand on, and you know who you are, and you're not going to settle for anything less because you know what you're bringing to the table. You know, and that's the important thing, you know, and that's what we want you to get out here, even as we're about to leave here today.
And we're talking about Aurora because Aurora is speaking to everyone. It's not just for young women. It's for young men, older women, because we are all dealing with an identity crisis. And if you identify with God, your identity is in Him. And that's what this book is about. It's giving you that firm foundation. Once you have that relationship with Him, all your answers are in Him. But it comes down to us making a choice. It comes down to us making a choice. And before we leave here, I usually ask the panel to share a final thought. You know, and so we're gonna end the round table and we're going to ask them to share your final thought. But as we say all the time, the word doesn't cost anything, but ministry does cost. And we're trying to do a lot of things here at Harvest. We have a school. We have Harvest Youth and Development. We have so many things that we want to do, but it also costs. And so if God has placed on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. You'll see it come up on the screen. Sow a seed to it. And if you want to purchase the book or Aurora, where can they get the book from?
They can get it at e6publishing.com.
So
e6publishing.com.
e6publishing.com. Purchase that book for your daughter, for your nieces, for a person in your family, somebody you know. Share that book with them. And with that being said, on behalf of Dr. Williams, First Lady, and the Faith Rollins family, we want to say we love you. And we're going to close with final remarks.
Just want to encourage everyone watching this that God is your creator and He knows you best, right? The one who made the apple one knows He knows how apple works. And just how God created you, you know how it works. So if you have any questions, don't be afraid of God. He's ready with your questions. He's waiting for you. And God wants the best for you.
I just want to say, other people's opinions. You can only be defined by the one who created you, which is God. So you are loved, you are chosen, and you are God's masterpiece.
Amen. I just opened up my Bible app, and it opened up to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And it said, Jesus said to him, "You say to me, if you can." And it says, all things are possible for the one who believes and trusts in me. So family, this is what we're talking about. If you believe and trust in Him, your identity is in Him, and all things are possible. We love you. God bless you. Hope to see you here on Wednesday and on Sundays at 10:30 to be a part of our service. And on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, come be a part of our roundtable discussions. Ask some questions. Send your questions in online. We can answer them. We'd love to have you be a part of what we're doing here. As she said, we are God's community, and each one of us has a role to play. And we need you here to be a part of what we're doing, because God has something and a purpose on your life. But you can't find that purpose if you're not walking in it. So we invite you to walk in your purpose here at Harvest or wherever God is calling you to. But please, walk in your purpose. God bless you. We love you. Have a good night.